sit over here. No, wait, wait, we should really sit down, okay? Maybe sit over here.
One day.
Right, there's seats over here. Okay? That side, here. It's a pleasure to introduce and a cover to have with us Rav Shiva of Yeshiva Greater Washington, Silver Spring, Maryland, Rav Aaron Lopiansky. Many of our Talmidim have gone to the Yeshiva there and had a very good experience in their learning, developing and learning, and they have a Yeshiva that allows you, works into their schedule, going to college at the same time. The Shivas come to give us some Divrei Chizuk, Shir, and to experience a little bit of the Yeshiva of Greater Washington.
I'd like to give some feedback. Some of the boys have gone over the years. Many boys from the high school have come to learn here. We have here customers. We've had boys coming back to us. And I think the one thing about the Derech program that really stands out is how well people integrate whatever it is they're doing with being a Ben Torah. We have somebody who was here quite a few years ago. He was in high school by us, came here, went back, finished engineering school, had a full scholarship. He's a very bright boy. Now he's sitting and learning for quite a few years. And you see the Ben Torah and the engineer kind of very seamlessly together. There's another one who was here, came to us, opened up a major food business in the D.C. area. It's now, they have kosher food on Capitol Hill and the hospitals and the universities, his business, and he works very hard, and he's still a Ben Torah, comes to the yeshiva, learns, davens, and so on. It takes a lot of skill to be able to not only manipulate two worlds, but to integrate two worlds. And whatever it is about the chinuch here, it does it masterfully, and I hope, Ezra Hashem, you keep doing it, Laorech Yom V'Shanim. I'd like to speak a small thought that this may be very central to a struggle that we have that's maybe not always understood by us as being a struggle. Let's start with the beginning of the era. You have different, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I will now redeem Klal Yisrael. I'll be Goel them. So you have five different Lashonos expressing it. So it says, Votseis eschem etachas yiras Mitzrayim, I will take you out of the suffering in Egypt. Hitzalti eschem yadasam, I will rescue you from the work that you're doing for them. V'ga'alti eschem v'zoyen etu v'shvatim dolim, I will redeem you with outstretched hand and with tremendous judgments against the enemy. V'lokachti eschem li la'am, I'll take you as a nation. V'idati v'yashem lakeichem. I'll bring it to Israel. So you have five lashonos of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for us. If we take note of the different lashonos, one stands out in two ways. Let's go. Votseis yaschem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us out mitachas sivus Mitzrayim. From what? From the suffering. Okay. I will rescue you from the hardships, from the work. But v'ga'alti eschem doesn't say from what. Lokachti, I'll take you for me as a nation. Ve'beis chasem al aretz. So all of them, we understand the verb has an object. I will rescue you from something. I will take you from somewhere. I'll bring you to someplace. The only one that's not like that is v'ga'alti. The flip side is, v'ga'alti eschem is the only one that describes how it takes place. The other ones, it doesn't say what kind of fireworks will be vohotseisi. It doesn't say what kind of fireworks will be tzalti, v'lakachti, and so on. So the geula, the word geula, stands out as to not being clear what it is. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to redeem us from? He's gone to every detail. And yet it's the generic term. If, in other words, if we want to call it one word, we'll talk about Geulas Mitzrayim. If we don't talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, somewhat, Hatzolas Mitzrayim, no, Lakachti, Vevesi, the one we refer to is Geula. So Geula is the core, it's the third one, it's kind of the crux of it, and yet there's no clear description of what's happening. And we do have a description of how it takes place, Bezro Netuya, Mishpatim Gdolim. Also interesting, we have 4.5 kosels, Leil Pesach, for every Lashon. We have 4 kosels, and a 5th kosel is called Kosel Yo, it's a suffix whether there's a Chiyuv or not. So if we're to organize the kosels, we have the first kos is Kiddush, which refers to Pesach. Kiddush Hayom is the Kiddush of Leil Pesach. That deals with the Yom Tov. The second kos is on the Haggadah. That's number 2. That kos is clearly identified with it. The fourth kos, we'll skip one, is Hallel. And that's also clearly identified with Yom Tov. The third kos, which is Keneged V'ga'alti, is on benching, which really has nothing to do with Pesach. Anytime you bench, you should do it ala kos. There's actually a shailiv if you bench with a mezumen. Any time we had somebody when I was growing up in high school, there was somebody who was exotic in his taste, and he just learned this halacha. So every day we'd bring to for breakfast a little wine bottle and be mezamen ala kos to the shizvin of the staff, but he had a mishabur on his side. So listen, you know, when you have a mishabur on your side, it's difficult to argue. So I remember he had a little bottle he used to bring, and he was mezamen. Not recommended, but just to tell you that it's not dafka leil Pesach. So why is this kos of all the kosos on something that has nothing to do with Pesach? That's really an issue that we need to understand. So let's go back and see what exactly the process of going into Golus entailed, and then we'll maybe be able to get a sense of where we're coming from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisbane Absarim said that Klal Yisrael is going to have to go into Golus. That's part of the bris. Why? The pasuk doesn't say. The different mefarshim say, the mekubalim say, many reasons. But whatever it is, they will go into galus. There are 3 stages mentioned, and it goes like this. It says, ger yezar acha beretz olahem. Your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Va'avodim, they will serve them. Ve'inu oisam, and they will afflict them, they'll hurt them, pain them, and so on. Arba me'eshana. So we have 3 stages of going into galus. It stands to reason that when you pull out from the worst case, and you keep moving out. So the first, let's go with the worst case. The worst case is inu oisam, the affliction, the pain. And that is something which is that's the first thing that it says. Votseses kam tafsios Mitzrayim, the hurt and the pain that they'll be in Mitzrayim, they'll be taken out from. The second one is it says vavodum, that's going backwards. They'll be slaves. Okay, so for that we have the bitzaltias kam avodosam. The ger yozach beretz olahem is going to be the Ga'alti Eschem. So we've identified the Ga'alti Eschem is taking care of the Ger Yezer Acha Beretz Olahem. But it puts the ball back into our court. What exactly is Ger Yezer Acha Beretz Olahem? The Jewish people did not have a nation. They did not have anything that resembled a country and a government and a self. They were not an established nation. So they were wandering in different places. So Eretz Yisrael theoretically would be theirs, but it wasn't really going to become theirs for a long time to come. So what's this stage of enslavement called Ger Yezer Acha Beretz Olahem? Avodim we understand. Inu also understand. But what exactly is the problem with Ger Yezer Acha Beretz Olahem? So the pshat's like this. A person has an identity. An identity of who he is. And that goes to the core of what he is, who he is, and so on. We're a subset of something. Our identity is not only our name. Our identity is what nation are we? What people are we? Who are we? Who are we and where we come from is... So when somebody says he's an American, it says something about his identity. We don't live... People don't live as individuals scattered. They're part of a peoplehood that gives them an identity. Klal Yisrael, as long as they lived in Canaan, they didn't have a nation, but they weren't under anyone else's jurisdiction. They weren't Canaanim. I don't know if Canaan didn't have anything or they had many nations. There's nothing in Canaan that they became part of. When they stepped foot in Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim was an extremely sophisticated society for those days. They were Mitzrim. The Lashon that Chazal use, they use a pasuk to describe, Goy bekerev goy, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a nation, that's a pasuk, took out a nation from within another nation. Chazal say it's like taking a fetus out of the mother. As long as it's in the mother's womb, it's inseparable from the mother. It's part and parcel of the mother. It's tied in. The circulatory system and everything else is one entity. Being in Mitzrayim wasn't just the address where to send mail to. It meant you were in Mitzrayim. You were treated as a Mitzri. You saw yourself as a Mitzri if you weren't strong about it. And you were subsumed under the peoplehood. You're one of the many nationalities that makes up Mitzrayim. That was the first step of losing their identity. Avdus, slavery, means that everything that belongs to you is no longer yours. That has become part of someone else's wealth, and you've lost that also. And ve'inu also means when somebody controls your body, you've even lost your body. So the process of Mitzrayim was an almost a grip of losing everything that we can identify ourselves with, and down to the core of our neshama. The way Rashi brings a Chazal, that the Mitzrayim controlled, the Mitzrayim claimed they controlled their wives. There was nothing, the family life, possessions, work, my body, everything was totally absorbed by Mitzrayim. And the purpose of the Golus was to see, could we still remain Klal Yisrael when almost every external trapping has been taken away? It's almost as if when we're searching, what is it about a person's soul that his self, what is it about a person's body that self, we'll try to strip away every piece, and as long as we have some sort of core nucleus, whether it's something in the cell that can recreate everything again, that's when we know that we've hit a certain nucleus. This is it. This is the cell itself. Everything else is peripheral to bring what the cell needs. So the process of Golus was a process of quashing our identity. And the first step of that was becoming part of another nation. And it's very hard to retain your identity when you have that. So let's go back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is they will stop oppressing you physically. There's going to be release from that. So that's clear. The second step is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you, you no longer will be slaves. Paro will tell you, go, you know, I don't need you, I don't want your money, I don't want your work, you're too much of a trouble, and so on. And they have their possessions back again. So now we've taken off two steps. Those are very concrete. But there's a third thing. We've been part of Mitzrayim. We're part and parcel of it. How do we become ourselves? How do we decide we're a different nation? It's interesting, when we look as outsiders into, I remember Germany, when it was divided into two countries, or Korea, to us they're two separate countries. to the people living there, because they still have the ties of language, family, etc., they still are one people. And, you know, for us, North Korea and South Korea are two worlds. It just happens to be speaking the same language, but we don't see them as really separate as one entity. They see themselves one. You keep saying, both of them keep claiming they want reunification. Why? They're two worlds. The answer is, for us it's two worlds, for them it's one world. In order to create the separation, you need a clear demarcation. You need HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us with Yad Chazaka, he needs to push away the Mitzrim and take us. So the Zroa Netuya means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling us out, singling us out, and he's Shvatim Gedolim and pushing away the Mitzrim. It's like when you take something out of something else, you pull the thing you want and you tear away the thing you don't want. That's how when I'm trying to get two things unstuck, I pull and push away, pull away in the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to separate you out of Mitzrayim. And that's how I'm going to do it. There's another place, and that's why this is the core part of Geula. The core part of Geula is when somebody is oppressing you from the outside, but you see yourself as an independent person or as an independent entity, you're not really enslaved. You're not really part of it. You're restricted. But when your self melts away, when you begin to see yourself as really an extension of the other, then you've lost yourself. So Geula is the core element of that. There's a very interesting, another use of the word Geula in a place that's kind of surprising. Much further down in Vayikra, at the end of Vayikra, we have a whole parasha about everybody in Klal Yisrael has land that's theirs inherently. It's achuza, it's nachla, this is their land. They can sell it. They can capitalize on it. You can sell it to somebody and temporarily get money and sell it for a few years. When the land goes back, that's called geula, because that's something that its identity was misrepresented. This is my land. This is the piece of land. I'm a Levi, I don't have any land, actually. But for those of you who are not Levium, this is your piece of land. This land is you, and you're that land. When you capitalize on it, and you lease it for 10 years, 20 years, full Yovel, when it comes back, it's not a financial transaction. It's Geula Tia, it says. And the same thing if a Jew is sold to a Goy for slavery, it's called Geula. For those who might remember in Rus, Geula means where the self has been subsumed and just about lost its identity, and then it's coming back. It says that if Klal Yisrael would have sunk into the Memtesh Haritumma, they wouldn't have been redeemed. The reason is, the Maharal says in one place, Berach, I'm sort of paraphrasing, Geula means separating two entities. Had they crossed that barrier, they would have become Mitzrim. And then there wouldn't be, it's not possible to have Geula. Geula is as long as a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees it's separate. And that means there's some barrier you haven't sunk to where they are. You're not where they are. I want to talk about this because I think of all the issues that confront us. This piece of Geulus is the most significant. I mean, we sit back and we read stories of people, communist Russia, Nazi Germany, East Europe pre-World War II, and it's you know, my father was born pre-World War I. He's still, you know, I still remember the stories of East Europe, certainly Nazi Germany, certainly they were under the communist regime. I was in Russia when there was a communist regime there. And you have the stories of oppression and you know, and force and all of that, and that's what we live with as being the evil of Geulus and the problem of Geulus. And it definitely was a horrific. But this is the first time the last century in America and the last half century in many places where things are good. And slowly we begin to sort of get a sense that we're not Jewish people living in America, we're Americans. And I do believe it's very important to keep the laws of the land, to be honest, to contribute to a land that's giving you a lot. Those are very right things to do. Just like if you're a guest in somebody's house, somebody's putting up in his house, you do a lot more to be helpful and contribute. If you land in somebody's house for a month, you do your best to help and to give. But the problem is, we started to become mentally and emotionally part of it. It's sort of the culture has become our culture, and we begin to see ourselves as part of it. I remember I once heard two people speaking, a mock conversation. One of them was an old European Jew from Hungary who was in the Nazi horrors, came to America and established himself and was quite wealthy. His second one was a young American who grew up, learned in yeshivas as a ben Torah, very successful businessman, lives in Manhattan, very with it. You know, he's sort of made it good in all fronts. And the older man was telling the younger one, he said, Shleimele, what's the difference between me and you? We're both from, we're both learning about this. He says, let me tell you what the difference is. When Mashiach comes, I'm going to have a predicament because I have a lot of positions in the stock market and I have different real estate dealings. I'm going to tell Mashiach, give me a month, I'll liquidate my holdings, I'll sell them at the right moment, and then I come to have this role with you. He said, you Shleimele, you're going to tell Mashiach, listen Mashiach, Mashiach is too big to make his main home in a third world country somewhere in the Middle East. You need a place in Manhattan. Of course you'll have a place in King David for when you come to visit Israel, but you belong in Manhattan. It was sort of a mock conversation, but there was there was touching some real issues of who we are. It's something that is, if we look at ourselves, and these are things, I'm not talking about bad things or wrong things, but the sense of self. Being a Jew should be the core of who we are and what we are. I want to finish off with an extraordinary Meshech Chachma, Yor Sameach. He remarks the following. He says, it says, why were the Jews redeemed from Egypt? It says they didn't change their language, their names, and their dress. Are any of these a mitzvah d'oraisa? Well, Chassidim maybe think that a gartel and a shtreimel and a long coat are d'oraisa. Yeshivas might think a hat and a jacket is d'oraisa. But actually, surprisingly enough, it's not. Not even the Rabbanon. I mean, and yet Chazal say that's why they were worthy of good design. When they came back and buy a sheni from the Golas, it says they should have had the miracles that were happened then. If they would have been worthy of it, it would have happened to them. They weren't worthy. He shows that they kept many more mitzvahs and were a lot frumer at the Bais Sheni. They had Torah, they had mitzvahs, they kept Torah mitzvahs, then they were when they were going out of Mitzrayim and they were over there for the Zerah. He says, yes, okay, so they wore a kapata and they wore a shreimel, but they were going to church. So what's the thing? And the Arsamech says a remarkable insight. He says, when Kal Yisrael is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at its best, and that's Yisrael, and it's a time of Gula, the most important measure of a person is mitzvah Torah, mitzvah that he keeps. This is the person. He says, in Golus, the struggle is to identify yourself as a Jew. In the Bayis, by Bayis Sheni, by Ezra, it says there was a terrible rate of intermarriage. In the beginning of Nehemiah has a whole gathering where they made a cherem on everybody who was intermarried and forced them to separate. It was the key part of it. In other words, in the 70 years of Golus, they had become assimilated. So he says, in Golus, the struggle is for self. And things that keep, if we keep holding on to the sense of being a Jew, that is very, very significant. I we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're here, I don't know, a mile from Makom HaMikdash. Now everything is good. When you come back and go to the States, one of the hardest nisyonos is the sense of apartness. Keeping kosher is not terribly difficult because the Yitzhara Tishrei, okay, you know, if you're used to it or whatever. But the real problem is when you sit with a dozen of your colleagues, whether it's in academia, whether it's in business, or any other setting that's work, and everybody's eating a meal and you're sipping a Diet Coke. You feel like you have a dunce cap on your head. And you do. Well, you know, if you wear a yarmulke, for sure. You know, and it's very difficult. What?
The dunce
cap. That would even set you apart, as Israel, possibly. It's still. And, you know, everything about it, you check out of the office Fridays, different times, strange hours. It's not the thing itself as much as the sense of being different. If you're from, and especially if you're not embarrassed of being from, you will be different. And you'll never be part of it. And a normal human being wants to be part of society, part of the country, unless nobody wants to be part of Poland, because Poland was a horrendous society. But America is a beautiful society. It's a nice society. And we'd love to be as American as the other person. That's probably our biggest nisoyan, is the struggle for our identity and who we are and what we are. If we understand that, and understand that the crux of it, and that's why Berachas HaMazon, in other words, it's not a particular hardship of Mitzrayim. It's who we are be'etzim. Berachas HaMazon is something that is part and parcel of our, it's a mitzvah that's always there. In other words, Geula is a quality imparted not vis-a-vis the Mitzrayim, but for us. And we need to bear that in mind, that what we're doing is, in yeshiva, we're learning a lot, and we're learning what we're supposed to do, halachas. We're learning musa to give us an emotional impetus to do these things. We're learning skills that are able to continue learning. But most important, we're building ourselves as B'nai Torah. We're getting a sense of identity that we're Jews, and we're B'nai Torah, and we're proud to be Torahic Jews. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us each with our own gullus and geula, and in the macro picture, should take all of Yisrael out of gullus and make them proud, make them a real nation, and proud of being a real nation. It's lovely.
Arthur,
you're back.
We'll be available for any great questions. Anybody has any questions?
What's your name?
Zach Zemmer.
Anybody wants to know?